At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome in, everybody, to a special Football Friday edition of Birds 365 after the Philadelphia Eagles make their first selection in the NFL draft at 31 overall. They jump up from 32 using a fifth-round pick, and they draft Jahad Campbell, linebacker from the University of Alabama. Johnny Mack, how you doing on this Football Friday, brother, as we are about to dive in to the newest Philadelphia Eagle, obviously with a lot to go here in the NFL draft.
I'm doing it. I'm doing well.
As good as you can, right, John?
Yeah, as good as possible. Yeah, picking 32. I think it was out of there by 2:30-ish, maybe in bed by 4-ish.
Oh, man.
And here we are again.
I was bed by 3 with the production, but other than that, man, you got me beat going to 4. So well done by you, Johnny Mack. Appreciate you being here this morning. But just your first reaction, man, for the people of Birds 365. Not everybody had a chance to consume our content last night. So your first reaction, Eagles move up from 32 to 31, a player that they said they had ranked top 10 on their board falls into their lap at 31 overall. They sent, as I mentioned, a fifth-round draft pick this year with 32 to move up that one spot. It was 164 overall, so that's off the board. Your initial reaction to what the Philadelphia Eagles did in round one of the NFL draft?
Yeah, I wish we could replay my interview at last night, but I know everybody's not staying up to 2:30. And I would encourage Eagles fans to listen to Howie, because Howie was pretty honest about this player. And I think there's going to be a lot of misunderstanding of this. And you were talking to me before the show about a lot of people saying this is the replacement for N'Kobe Dean. It's not. He specifically said it's not. Now, again, it's a much larger role, a much more different role, a role that we haven't seen here in Philadelphia. The projection, again, this is the projection of what Vic would call a flat defender, which is part off-ball linebacker, part edge rusher. Had it in Miami. We talked about it a lot with Andrew Van Ginkle. Eagles loved Andrew Van Ginkle. Thought about bringing him in free agency. But he was coming off a serious foot injury. So they were going to have to pay a lot of money for a player they weren't sure was completely healthy. And they went in a different direction. And he ended up, by the way, Andrew ended up being a second team All-Pro. So he did just fine. But that's sort of the template. If you want to go back to their season together in Miami, that's the template that the Eagles are envisioning with Jahad Campbell. And whether it works out is another, you know, that's there aren't a lot of players like that right in the NFL. So whether it works out is a question. That's a lot to put on a plate of a young player. I'm not sure if it works out. So then you have the versatility. Is he a stacked linebacker? Is he an edge rusher?
Right.
And just from the little hints, now Howie was very, very careful to not pigeonhole him into either, even though we tried to get him to answer it 50 different ways, because he wants him to be everything. But if he can't handle it, then, you know, where does he default to? Where does he go back to? And I think, as you saw in the lead up to the draft, most people had him as a off-ball linebacker, stack linebacker, number one in the class at that particular position. If that's the case, first off-ball linebacker the Eagles have taken in the first round of the draft since Jerry Robinson. You're going to hear that probably a lot. Or he's going to play the edge. And that's where I think he belongs. The question is, can he be a full-time edge player at his size, which is basically 6'1", 235. Now, I don't know if he slipped, but how he made the Penn State comparison and what he's talking about is Micah Parsons, and he's talking about Abdul Carter, who both played off-ball at Penn State, but ended up as edge rushers. In the case of Micah Parsons, for people that don't remember, he wasn't drafted. He was drafted as a linebacker, an off-ball linebacker. Right. And then they had a bunch of injuries, and they said, all right, we got to play him at edge rusher, and he was so good they never moved him. But he's still versatile. He still does some things. Stand-up rusher. Another thing Van Ginkel does, you can move him inside.
And he is pretty good at coverage too. I mean, that's one of his special,
And that's the flat defender. You saw again, we're going to talk a lot about Van Ginkel. You saw two pick sixes. He probably could have had five.
Right.
You know, cause he dropped a couple. That's part of it. Coverage. That it is a very big job. If you want to put somebody in that particular position. And that seems to be what the Eagles are projecting, envisioning with this particular player. But if that doesn't work out at the whole encompassing role, which is edge rusher, flat defender, off-ball linebacker, depending on weak opponent, who's available in a particular game, if that entire role doesn't manifest itself, he can't handle all that, then I think, all right, what's the default setting? And I think most people would say linebacker. Ultimately, it's up to Vic. And as you saw, he's pretty good with linebackers figuring out where they belong. That's his expertise. And he figured it out pretty quickly with Zach Bond. Ultimately, it's up to him. But if I were a betting man, I would say he's an edge rusher.
So last night, John, because after our conversation last night, I started to look into the player a little bit before I went to bed. And I want to give credit to Elliot Shore Parks from WIP, but I want you to tell me if you agree with this. So he tweeted out, the key to understanding this pick by the Eagles is to view it like this. Jihad Campbell is an edge that can play off-ball linebacker, not an off-ball linebacker that can play edge. He will rush the passer and then be moved around to utilize other skills, but edge is first. In your estimation, do you think that's an accurate description?
Yeah. Good job, Elliot. I'm surprised. That's exactly what I just said. Yes. That's exactly what it is. Yes. Again, they want the bigger role. But if they can't and he has to default to one, he's going to be an edge rusher. I felt that way about Micah Parsons.
Right.
Turned out, luckily, I was correct. Feel that way about Abdul Carter. Feel that way about Jihad Campbell. Now, you know, those guys are higher level of prospects, but similar types of traits we're talking about. This is the type of player that Vic wants. He wants this role in his defense. You even see him try to do it very, very spare, you know. When he doesn't have the player to do it, he still does it. He throws in the curveball and a lot of people did it. Jonathan Gannon did it. People who run this scheme, where you see whether it's Josh Sweat dropping into coverage or Bryce Huff dropping into coverage. That picture that, but with somebody who can do it, more comfortable doing it, more effective doing it, and it just adds another pitch to your arsenal if you're Vic Fangio. But you're always looking for those curveballs, and this guy is athletic enough. And one of the things about when he moved, because he came to Alabama as an edge rusher and they had some injuries and he had to move. And he was pretty good in coverage, which is rare. You expect him to be, all right, he's such a great athlete. Maybe he's just chasing people down. And there's part of that in college. But he was also pretty darn good in coverage. So this guy's going to be more comfortable than Hassan Reddick dropping into coverage or in theory. And we'll see how it plays out. But I you know, the Eagles obviously liked him and were keeping it under wraps. This is one player that I didn't focus on because I was looking at ceiling players, but this is a ceiling player. So I got that part of it right. They were looking for a guy with a huge ceiling. So whether that would be Walter Nolan, I focused on Walter Nolan and Shamar Stewart, who went earlier.
Yeah, 16 and 17 back to back.
This is another guy that they think has a huge ceiling, and that's what they were looking for at the bottom of the first round. And they tried to trade all the way up to 22 to get him. I don't know who they thought was going to take him, but obviously nobody did between 22 and 31. They moved up from 32 to 31 to make sure. So they obviously had some thought that someone was going to come up to get him. But he had shoulder surgery in March. That helped when it came to him slipping a little bit. Because in most of the process, I had him going much earlier than 31. And yeah, I think most people did. But I did mention this week, for those who was listening, there were two names that came out about potential injury issues. One was Campbell and the other was Will Johnson, who a lot of people had as the first or second corner to go, and he's still on the board. So that some teams were concerned with those two players from an injury standpoint.
So versatile, our version of Andrew Van Ginkle has landed. He is not a replacement for N'Kobe Dean. All right, it is not about that. It's about off the edge. I'll give you guys a little rundown on Jihad Campbell. 6'3", depending on where you look, 235, it says on the NFL.com, 245, it says other places. I've even seen 250 some places. So let's just call him 240 for now. 6'3", a 4'5", 240, and 9.88 relative athletic score, Johnny Mac. So we talked about how the Eagles like those guys with high RAS scores. Well, there you go. That's a really high one for Jihad Campbell. So he's a versatile player. I'm very, really excited to see how Vic Fangio lines him up. John, what does it mean for the lineup on the field? Like, if he's not going to be the off-ball linebacker, obviously, and let's just assume N'Kobe Dean's for healthy for a second. So you got Bourne and Dean. Like, is he taking the spot of where Sweat would be on the field? Is that how you would say it? You know, like who?
I would think if you think about it from the standpoint of, you know, third.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Third and long, third and 10 plus. Obvious set passing situations. He's one of the four guys you want on the field rushing the passer,
right?
I would think. Doesn't mean that starts that way. You know, people forget Cooper DeJean that took to week 5 before they pulled the trigger. Should have pulled it earlier, but you know, but the goal is, yeah, the goal would be to get him on the field. So, and obviously that means with Nolan Smith and likely, at least for now, Jalen Carter and Moro Ajomo, that would be your NASCAR package, whatever right. You want to call it. Now, you know, you mentioned the weights, the fluctuating weights. Well, at the combine, it's 235, so he's 235.
Right.
Now, you can go up, you can go, hope they don't want him to go down, but
No, he's got it. But the thing is, like, you brought up Micah. Micah's 6'3", 245, 250. So, like, that his size is right in that range. Let's say he puts on 10 pounds. He's a rookie player. So, I think over time he will put on, you know, a couple pounds. But he's the right size, man, to do this. So, I think it could work out. And with the athleticism, I mean, seems like they got great value, John, at 31. Because that's also a big part of the first round, too, that people miss on. Like, I was laughing at the Cowboys pick. You know, 12. I like Tyler Booker. It's not even a problem with Tyler Booker, but bro, take him at 27. Yeah. Trade back. You know, like, get value out of what you have, the assets that you have, to make a better football team. I think the Eagles got a great value pick here at 31.
Yeah, I mean, they were trying. Yeah, it's true. They were trying to get up. They thought that they had a deal with the Chargers at 22, and they were going to take him at 22. So, I mean, they weren't bull, you know, wanting when it comes to wanting the player, having a great grade on the player. And so ultimately, and you're right, but it was a little bit of a different draft, and that's where I give some of these teams a little bit more of a pass than I typically would when it comes to maybe guys that I deem as not a value for that particular spot, because the boards were so wacky and the ranges for the prospects. So this was a draft which is more of, all right, if you like a player, just take him. So I'll give some of these teams from that standpoint a little bit of deference. But, yeah, in the case of the Cowboys, I mean, my issue with the Cowboys, not at all. I think they should have, but I thought they would go wide receiver. I thought offensive line was much bigger issue for them because of all the attrition they've had over the past couple of years. I just, you know, I think Donovan Jackson's better. Now I wouldn't have taken him at 12. I think Ray Zabel's better, and I wouldn't taken him at 12 than Booker. So, you know, I don't necessarily like their choice, but if you like the player, you like the player. You know, it's like if I'm the 33rd team, sorry, Joe Banner, but if I'm the 33rd team, you know, I got my board. But that doesn't mean my board's right. And if they like them and they're confident, and obviously I talk about Will McClay all the time, it's definitely more of a personnel group pick than a Jerry Jones pick. So I don't have as much problem with it as most people would, I would say. Especially in this draft.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the rest of the draft as well here today. We obviously are going to talk about round 2 and 3 as well, which is tonight. A lot of good players on the board, everybody. So the Eagles sitting at 64 and 96 tonight. What will they do? I'm expecting them to shake and bake and, you know, maybe send a, you know, package up some picks and move up in those rounds unless they like a player or they think they're in a good spot where they are. But a lot of good players remaining still on the board. So tons of people there, including a lot of players who were in on top 30 visits for the Philadelphia Eagles. So we will get into that. John, talk to me about this injury. He had a surgery last month. I believe it's a torn labrum, if I'm not mistaken, in the shoulder. So now the Eagles medical staff cleared him. Yeah. I tend to trust them because they've been pretty good at this stuff over the years, but. Your thoughts on the injury. Tell us a little bit about it, and then if it concerns you at all.
No, I think people get caught up in the moment. You know, is he going to be ready for OTAs? No. And who cares? I mean, he's 21 years old. He's going to be healthy at some point. Yeah. So, no, from that standpoint, you might have to wait a little bit. He might. You know, will he be ready for the first play of training camp? Maybe not, but who cares? He's 21.
Right.
There's plenty of time. So I think people get, and it's not an injury that's going to be chronic or degenerative, most likely. Again, at 21, you never say never because it is football. And that's how he described it. You got hurt, football injury. I mean, trying to tackle people.
Right.
It happens. But again, Nolan Smith, I talked about with the torn tricep, same type of thing. He's going to be back. He's going to be healthy. The one thing you worry about, again, is the lack of size. And you're pushing and pulling on at 235, 240, you're pushing and pulling on 300, often 20 pound offensive tackles.
I think he can put on some
maybe a little bit quick. More susceptible. There's a give and take to that. Some people, like I talked about Jalex Hunt has the frame for it. I don't know. And I haven't seen Jihad in person yet. So, you know, we'll see. But like Nolan doesn't have the frame to put on a whole bunch of weight. Jalex does. And then you have to get, are you giving up some explosion? All this factors into it. And, you know, I think Micah Parsons has proved a lot of things to a lot of people in this league. Because he's got shorter arms and he doesn't, and nobody can block him. But again, there's a give and take to that because Aaron Donald's the same way at defensive tackle. But to assume that, you know, I always bring up Kalijah Kancey and Ed Oliver when you're talking about it. People made those comparisons to Aaron Donald. And they're both good players, but they ain't Aaron Donald. You know, I'm surprised how he brought up the Cowboys thing and he was talking about it. He didn't say the word Micah or Abdul Carter, the Penn State thing, not the Cowboys thing. So he made it obvious who he was talking about. And I'm surprised because, you know, he's probably gonna be the Ed Oliver of this type, which is a good player. Darn good player. But, you know, he's not going to be Micah Parsons. If you're playing the odds.
Doesn't seem like you love the pick. Am I reading it wrong? Or do you not like the value for that type of player at 31? Like, is there any concern you have?
No, I have no problem with the value, the pick. You're picking 31st. First of all, you're picking 31st. I mean, you're not getting Micah Parsons at 31, most likely. Occasionally, you know, guys hit. But I don't like those comparisons for anybody. I don't like the comparisons for – I got to take the Cowboys part out of it. You can go this year with Abdul Carter. Same thing. It's not Abdul Carter. You know, just like Kancey wasn't Aaron Donald. He's Aaron Donald. He went to Pitt. No, he's not. You know, those guys are different, and because they did it doesn't mean every 6'2", 280-pound guy's good in college can do it at the same level. In the same case with, you know, guys who shouldn't be good at edge rusher but are good at edge rusher because they're so physically gifted. And to a lesser degree, Nolan Smith has some of that as well. Like, he shouldn't be as good as he is as an edge rusher. But they are. But Vic knows this position. Like, this is Vic. I always talk about manufactured touch people, gadget players on offense. And you know, I don't like them. For most coaches, for Kyle Shanahan, I say, all right, I'll think about it. Yeah. He's going to utilize them. Vic is going to utilize. He created this position on the NFL level, basically. You know, other people use it. Flores uses it, but he kind of created it. And if anybody's going to use it correctly, it's going to be Vic Fangio.
So here's where he ranked on the final big boards for everybody. Just so people know, we drafted him at 31 overall and how we said the Eagles had him at their top 10. Daniel Jeremiah had him 12th on his big board. PFF had him 13th on the big board. The Ringer had him 11th. And Todd McShay had him 11th. So the Eagles land him at 31. Obviously a guy who was, you know, ranked higher than where they got him, and that he fell a little bit, I would assume, because of the shoulder injury. So an interesting pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. I love it. I mean, not only because he's a Bama kid, I just think you got great value. I thought the board felt you perfectly, and you walk with a player that really not many of us expected, John. I mean, we talked about the draft. How many hours, John, leading up to this sucker? I mean, we mentioned Campbell, but he wasn't in our top 5-10 guys that I think we thought the Eagles were going to take. And, you know, I didn't see many people anywhere talking about this guy as a potential draft pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think most people thought he was going to be way off the board, to be honest with you. But, you know, he falls to you, and another Alabama SEC player falls to the Birds, and you take him at 31. So Howie, per se, does it again. And we'll see how the player does. But another great value pick for the Birds.
Yeah, I think the injury helped. I think, you know, including myself, thought, all right, there's no way he's going to be there, so why talk about it? Then the injury I always talk about. Two things that can affect that are injury and background stuff. Mike Green is still on the board, people. Yeah. And that's information we don't have, nobody has, except the teams themselves. Now, Jeremiah dropped Campbell in his last draft, so he deserves credit for it. And obviously he knew, and he's got a strong relationship with Howie, but Howie might be pissed at him because he knew. And the second part is I did not think the Eagles would look at him as an edge rusher, and it seems that they are, which I think is a big positive. Because I've said it from the start, to me, he looks like an edge rusher. And he is an edge rusher. You know, and I like the way Elliot described it. You know, he's an edge rusher first, and he played off-ball linebacker. And he can play off-ball linebacker. But he's an edge rusher first. In the body of an off-ball linebacker.
Yeah.
Like Micah Parsons. And that's where the comp comes in.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm not too concerned on the size. I know he's a little small, but he is 21 years old right now. So obviously there's plenty of room to grow into his body. The main thing on here is, John, like, when are we talking on getting on the field? You know, torn labrum, had surgery in March. You know, many say it's a 6 to 8 month recovery on the timetable for that. So, you know, forget training camp. I don't think he's going to be there for training camp. Is he going to be ready for week one? You know, I do think you're right where you have time. You know, you can let the player get healthy. But, you know, what does that look like? When is he going to be available for this season? And there are people out there, John, who are concerned about this injury. I think you're good because the Eagles checked off on it. You know, it's nothing chronic, as you pointed out, John. But I don't know what the timetable is going to be or when we can expect him, you know, to be a contributor on the defense.
Well, you know, same with Cooper DeJean getting hurt right before training camp, you know, much less serious, not surgery, but that pushed him back 4 weeks, essentially a whole month into the season. Yeah. You might have something like that. The injury probably, you know, limits the opportunity to be that day one starter a little bit. But ultimately, like I said, who cares? He's 21. He's 21 years old. That's the thinking of bad teams who passed him over because, oh, he's not going to be ready for training camp, or, oh, he's 21 years old. Again, patience, to have the patience that, and some GMs don't have that patience. Some GMs aren't allowed that patience. Howie has that luxury and say, all right, well, you know, It might be the second half of the season, but ultimately I'm going to have a good player. And he's got a very good team to persevere before he gets the very good player. So it's a lot easier for the Eagles to do it. But I mean, long term, like literally, who cares? He's going to be fine. Short term, yeah, you're not going to get pictures of them at OTAs other than on the sidelines.
Right.
All right, who cares?
If people spend a first-round pick, John, they want to see him on the field, man. That's just going
to
be
They have to change their thinking. I don't know what to tell them. Do you want to be these teams that are like, I'm not going to have this kid in April and May, in May and June and July, and I'm not going to take him because of that? And you're not even playing games. I mean, that's part of the reason these bad teams are bad teams. because they're like, well, he can't play right away. I can't take him.
Well, no, I mean, here's how I look at it, because I hear you. I mean, what are we worried about June and July for? But, you know, he drafted N'Kobe Dean, who had some injuries coming out of college. He spent a lot of time since he's been here injured. You know, you drafted Nolan Smith, who had some injuries, especially with the shoulder, coming out of college. As good of a player as he turned into last year, he's now back on the injury list. So, you know, I think people look at players who come out with injuries like this and say, like, are they concerned that he might, you know, continue to have injuries? I know you don't like that when people say, you know, players are injury prone or whatever, but I do think it's a fair thing to at least bring up and talk about.
Well, I don't think it's predictable. Like, it's, you know, if it was, it would be easy. So that's one of those things where, you know, if I heard it one time from a football coach, I've heard it a million times. Control what you can control. And you know, there's difference between certain injuries, and that's where you rely on your doctors. And there's, you know, there's a lot of kids that'll come out with degenerative knee issues, and that will be a big concern. You know, Miles Jack, who was an Eagle for a couple years ago. I remember him coming out. He, you know, people were talking about him like he was a top five pick, and all of a sudden he goes in the second round because everybody had concern over a degenerative knee issue. And he was a good player for a pretty long time, and it didn't end up. DK Metcalf with the neck injury. A lot of teams were scared off by that. And he's still playing. He's still playing at a high level. So, I mean, all you can do in that instance is rely on your medical staff. And the reason I don't like it is because it's ridiculous to try to pray, oh, this guy is going to get hurt. You know, Nolan tore his triceps in the Super Bowl. I mean, it happens. It's right. Football. That's how Jihad said it. You know, he was asked how he got hurt in the bowl game, but you know, he didn't want to talk about the injury much, and certainly understandably, but you know, he basically called it just a football thing. I was trying to tackle people hard.
And he tweaked his shoulder.
Yeah. So it's more of not that I don't like it or I like it, or it's just control what you can control. I mean, you rely on your medical people. They give them the path. But when I compare it to other teams, I look at it more as, all right, well, they're in the moment and he's not going to be available right away. And they say, I need somebody that's available right away, whether it's to save my job or make sure I'm having my job. And they can't have patience. And the Eagles had the luxury of patience, and Howie Roseman has the luxury of patience. And from his process, all I'm trying to say is he's 21 years old. He's going to be fine. When he's going to be fine, officially 100% fine, I don't know, but he's going to be fine. And ultimately, if that's week one or week seven or week eight, where he turns into a contributor, that might get pushed back a little bit, but you know, the goal is to be, I think if you've seen the difference between 2023 and 2024, the goal is to play your best football late. Even in the regular season, when the games do matter, you know, Cooper wasn't even playing that first month, Cooper DeJean. But by the end, he's playing pretty well.
Right, right. If you look back, you know, would you not have taken Cooper because of the injury? No, you wouldn't.
So, and Cooper fell
a
little bit, not a ton, but, you know, most people had him graded as a first-round pick.
Right.
And the injury he suffered in training camp had nothing to do with the injuries in college that he fell a little bit with. But he fell a little bit because of injury concerns. It's a short-sighted, another example of a short-sighted way of thinking by many NFL GMs.
Yep.
No, again, there's different injuries, knees, necks, they have the potential to be more long-term significant potential issues. And that's why there's more concern. Ben Morrison, that's going to be an interesting player today. Yeah,
man. I think he's a great option day two.
But that injury is more concerning. So, right. You know, you have to do a lot more due diligence on it. So, and you know, from the Eagles standpoint, just from an Eagles centric view, do you really want to take one guy's injured and another guy that's injured? Probably not. So I'm probably taking Benjamin Morrison off the board.
Right. Will Johnson too, man. Now his is really scary. Will Johnson's with the knee, but man, he was a guy that was once talked about like as a top 10 pick shoe-in type of player, and he's still on the board going into round two. So unfortunate for him, but we'll talk about that too. We're going to get into who's available going into round two and three tonight. That kicks off tonight, day two of the NFL draft. Still a ton of players out there. Will Johnson, I just mentioned, Mike Green, Emmanuel, Donovan Ezeraku. I thought they were taking Ezeraku there at 31. Darius Alexander, you got Shedeur
Sanders. So did Ed Kratz. Ed Kratz was ready to spike the football.
Yeah, man. He was on
Bird. He had the football. Yep. He had the football ready to go. He was ready to spike the football. Man. And Howie took it away from him.
Howie did. Took it right out of Ed Kratz's hand. John, last question for you here until we move into round two. I also want to ask you about some of the rest of the draft. I thought it was a great round one last night. Just a lot of good moving parts, you know, a lot of interesting storylines, and we'll talk about some of those. How do you think this pick kind of reflects the overall, you know, defensive philosophy moving forward? Does it change at all? Do you expect them to run a lot more NASCAR, you know, which is with a lot more defensive ends on the field? Or do you think it's kind of just business as usual? He's going to plug in where Sweat or another edge would be. And it looks the same.
He's a different type of player, as I said. So in theory, he's going to expand Vic's ability to do what he wants to do on the front. In theory, in the laboratory, until you get to see it on the field, can he handle that role? It's a very big role. You know, and Van Ginkle's the guy that they're basing it on. You know, if you want to look at film, go look at film. Go look at the way Andrew Van Ginkle plays. That's how he's going to play. If he can. Which, again, is a very big role. And it's probably not going to start out that way. So then it becomes to what Elliot was saying. And I think Elliot phrased it correctly. He's more edge rusher than linebacker. And the Eagles gave two hints to that. One, the guy talking to him was Jeremiah Washburn, who was the edge rushing coach.
I picked up on that.
And two, Howie's mention of the Penn State guys, which is in reference to Micah Parsons and Abdul Carter. So more edge who can play linebacker than linebacker who can play edge. I would agree with that sentiment. But the goal is to get them to play both and have that hybrid sort of player that they haven't had to this point. And I haven't been able to get. But they've been looking for it. But again, there's probably four or five guys in the league that play. There aren't a lot of.
No, there's not. Yeah, there's definitely not a lot of these type of dudes. I think has pros and cons. You know, whenever you hear there's not a lot of them in the league, like there's advantages to that. But John, it kind of reminds me of what you always say with like I don't like gadgets. You know, I don't like gimmicks. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying if it's not like a traditional pick, there is the potential for that downside. But I'll default to Vic Fangio, similar to what you said.
Well, yeah, and I said, you know, I always say that, but when it comes to Kyle Shanahan, I say, all right, I'll take a look at it. And with Vic, same thing on defense.
Yep, I agree. Let's get to some super chats here. JD3 checks in. What's up, everybody? Appreciate everybody being here this morning. Hit that like button for us. Big round one for the Birds in the books. They move up to 31 and take Jahad Campbell from the University of Alabama. Roll Tide, baby. JD3 checks in. Eagles now have their version of Luvu Van Ginkle. Please don't draft tight end today and blackball my guy, all pro Harrison Bryant. J-Mac knows the deal.
Oh, we got our Harrison Bryant. Who is our Harrison Bryant?
JD3, man. He's the best. He loved Harrison Bryant.
Frankie Louvu. No, he hasn't. They're not. Yeah, I don't know why he's getting lumped in. He's not.
Definitely Van Ginkle, but yeah, I don't. Why Louvu?
Yeah. So that, but yeah, I don't. But they're looking for. Yeah, they're looking for that what Vic calls his flat defender, which is the guy who can play the edge and drop in coverage, occasionally play off ball linebacker, occasionally rush from inside. That's the template they're going for. To me, it's not about can they get there. It is about how long term it's about can they get there. Short term, it's about where does he start. You probably don't give him that whole plate to start. And that, I believe, he will start more as an edge rusher than an off-ball linebacker for two reasons. One, the Eagles have an all-pro off-ball linebacker that they just paid a lot of money to. And two, you know, the middle linebackers, N'Kobe Dean, and If N'Kobe's not ready to go for week one, Jeremiah Trotter would play that role. I don't think Jihad would be the middle linebacker anyway. And evidently, Howie thinks the same way. So if you don't believe me, because I know there's a lot of people that have gone down that route, just go read Howie's transcript or watch Howie's press conference. Yeah, so. You know, and again, injuries can change everything. And if he's their best option and Trotter falls on his face, I'm not saying they couldn't throw him in there for a couple of weeks. That's the whole point of having a versatile player, almost a positionalist player in the front seven. In theory, he can play all over. That's the hope. But little short bursts out of position, you know, you don't want him there long term.
Right.
But ultimately, if it boils down and he can't handle this all-encompassing role, which is a possibility you have to bring up, what did they scale back to? And I think they scale back to edge rusher more than off-ball linebacker. And I think they gave a couple of hints to that belief.
Yes. Brian Pumper checks in. What's up, Brian Pump? Appreciate your brother. He says, Eagles drafted the next Fred Warner, and all you Starks fanboys getting freaking wrecked.
Well, Pumper, come on, dude. Come on.
He did not want Malachi Starks, Pumper.
First of all, the comp of the All-Pro, number one. Don't do it. It's not fair. Second of all, Fred Warner is, you know, a middle linebacker. He played, and I'm just looking it up, played 15 snaps on the defensive line. That is an awful comparison. He's not coming here to be the middle linebacker.
Right.
Again, if you don't believe me, listen to Howie. I'm not asking you to believe me. And I'm not even saying, hey, look, and by the way, if Vic Fangio gets his hands on him, because Zach Bond didn't come here to play weak side linebacker. And if Vic sees something and says, you know what, I think this kid could be an all-ball linebacker. You know, he'll do what he wants. So I'll leave that door open. But if you listen to Howie, the scouting staff, he's not here to play middle linebacker. So, come on, Pump. Fred Warner.
Dirty Air checking in. What's up, Dirty Air? Hope you're doing good, brother. He says, so you think a reason he fell besides the shoulder is because of his versatility, harder for coaches to figure out a role? I think that's actually fair.
Well, I think he's a tweener in most coaches' mind. Because a tweener does, he's not big enough to play the edge.
Right.
He's not a traditional all-ball linebacker. Yeah, and a lot of teams are scared off by tweeners because they have more traditional, like I said, offensively, I'm fix the Kyle Shanahan of defense. Like, he will utilize players like this. Well, you can make an argument for Flores as well. They will utilize people like this. They have proven, there's demonstrated performance that they would lose versatile. One of my favorite players, people listen to the show, Pumper will get more Vikings, is Josh Metellus, because he plays all over. Played 13 different positions 2 years ago. There's only 11 on the field.
Do you think he's that undersized? Like, I'm looking up Nolan Smith. It has him listed 6'2", 238.
I haven't seen him yet. But, yeah, he measured at 235 at the combine. I mean, Nolan's very small. I say it all the time for an edge rusher.
I mean, he's not big, for sure.
Yeah, he's 235 right now. That doesn't mean he can't grow to 240. But, he's a little bit taller than Nolan, I believe. So we'll see that part of it. I mean, that's more of a concern of, like, at some point, if you have so many light players on the field. But Howie mentioned that. That's the way the game's going. So they're trying to stay ahead of the curve. And we'll see if somebody can take advantage of some of these undersized players. But, again, teams don't have patience. Howie counts on that. So they don't have patience to copy what the Eagles did. And because, remember, you can talk about Saquon, but how many years of investment did the Eagles put in the offensive line to get, Lane's 35 years old.
Right.
Jordan Mailata was a 7th-round pick, and that it took 3 years. Landon Dickerson got thrown in right away, but, was a high 2nd-round pick. Cam Jurgens, 2nd-round pick. On and on and on, these significant, and years prior and all that, and Jeff Stoutland and the coaching and the projects and the development. Incredible investment. Whereas you look at Chicago, which I think has done a good job of rebuilding their offensive line finally in the offseason, but they're just picking free agent, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. But the Eagles have took this long-term investment in the offensive line, and other teams don't have the patience to do that. The vast majority.
Yep. Suo Blaze checks in. What's up, Suo? Appreciate everybody being here this morning, by the way. Hit that like button for us. Suo says, we got my guy, Z. Said this months ago with Sills. I'm so effing pumped. Can't believe he fell to us. Him and Bond going to go crazy. Let's see how it is, Suo. I'm happy we got your guy. Johnny Max rolling his eyes at you because he's not going to be a linebacker. We'll see. John, I told you that. We talked about it last night. There's a little bit of an esoteric nature to this pick. All right? That's just the nature of the beast here. Vulnerable Vitality checks in with $10. Thank you, brother. I'm going to puke when Luther Burden goes to an NFC East team. Anywho, go effing birds. Great pick by the Eagles. Greater coverage by you guys. Let's have a great day, too. Thank you, Vulnerable. Appreciate it, brother. Luther Burden's a very nice player. I know you're a Missouri guy, so appreciate you checking in. Prince Swayze checked in.
You wanted the Eagles? But real quick, to Vulnerable Bob. Vulnerable.
No, I don't think he wants Luther. Bro, I don't know. Maybe he does. I know he's a Missouri guy.
The Eagles aren't taking a wide receiver.
No, I think he's just talking about, he likes Luther Burden, so he doesn't want to see him go to a team that he roots against.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I think that's what he's going for. Prince Swayze checks in. What's up, Prince? For the Falcons to give up a first-round pick for a late-round player is poor management. That could lead to the firing. Especially with next year's draft being loaded with talent. I have no idea what that Falcons GM is doing. I really don't.
I would add Jacksonville, Jeff Carson coming to life at the top of the draft. I say it all the time. There's some dumb teams, some dumb executives. Now, Atlanta has had a very, very difficult time trying to find pass rushers over the years. and they went with Jalen Walker, who's another sort of undersized guy. A lot of those guys, and to Howie's point about the game changing, and then they carpet bombed it with James Pierce. So it is a very important position, but to do it at that stage, obviously they thought somebody was going to take James Pierce. Is it Baltimore? Detroit? I would say maybe Detroit more than Baltimore.
Yeah.
Of the, you know, I always talk about Eaglesy picks. I think the most Eaglesy pick in the first round would have been Walter Nolan, who obviously went 16 to our old buddy Jonathan Gannon, but didn't have an opportunity for the Eagles, who started thinking about trading up at 22. So we'll never know. We'll know at some point, Howie, you'll talk to us about how much interest they had in Walter Nolan. But the most on-brand pick to me in the first round was Baltimore with Starks.
Yeah.
So I don't think they were taking him. Detroit might have taken him. But I mean, all right. So you lose out on James Pierce. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the player. I'm certainly not giving up a future one for him.
No, me neither.
But again, if you like the player, you know, show the courage of your convictions. Everybody is so clearly defined. The first thing you have to admit about the draft is none of us know. Now, these teams are doing more homework than anybody in our realm, whether it's fan or even media. You know, they have more information. And you, if you believe in a player, yeah, I have no problem with that. But on the surface, as a media person, it looks like he gave up a lot for something that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of what the Falcons
do. If he turns into an all-pro, it all evaporates.
That's true, no doubt. Rich checks in. What's up, Rich? How many picks are we making today, Z? I'm going to say, well, we got two right now. I'm going to stick with two. I think they make two. Maybe they move up with them, but I'm going to stick with two. John, how many do you think they make today?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with two because, yeah, they, you know, they'd have to probably give up a future pick to get another one, which again is possible. You've seen it in the past with Kaylee Ringo. You know, they gave up a future third to get up in the fourth. They might give up a future third to get up in the third this year, get up higher, you know, something like that. But I doubt it. Yeah. But they do have a number. They got to repopulate things, like I said.
Yeah.
In the secondary, in theory, they got to find a tight end, defensive tackle. They still got to repopulate this defense. You know, they got a nice player. I'm sure Vic's happy, but he's still saying, hey, we lost a bunch of fucking guys. I'll guarantee you that.
I don't know about you, John, but I see the Vic Fangio effect on Howie Roseman, man. He signs Zach Bourne, you know, goes and drafts Jahad Campbell. I see
it.
Howie's Fangio's rubbing off on Howie. He's clearly got some say in there, Johnny Mac.
Look, one thing I love about Vic is he's honest to a fault. He had nothing to do with Zach Bond. The Zach Bond was after he got here, looking at him and changing. The Eagles signed Zach Bond. Yeah, you didn't
bring him in. Oh, I meant paying him this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, paying him. Yeah, I thought you meant bringing him in.
No, not bringing him in.
Nothing to do with that.
Yeah, he was not supposed to be anything. Let's be real. Nobody thought he was going to be anything. Yeah.
Well, people have changed that out.
Well, obviously that, yeah. But when he was signed, though. Kimbo's checks in. Kimbo's does not like the pick, John. So not everybody likes the pick. Kimbo says, I think we should have got a vet for that role. I saw Kimbo's in the chat earlier saying he just doesn't have a good feeling about the player. So any concerns from your front, John, for the people that, you know, might not like the pick? Just shed some light on that side of the aisle.
Well, I mean – who you're going to get as a veteran to fill that role? Like, Eagles fans haven't even seen this role, and they may never see it. I mentioned that on the show. You've never seen this player, this type of player, what they are envisioning for this player. It has never been here before. You've seen little hints of it, and most Eagles fans hated it when Hassan Reddick would drop into coverage or Josh Sweat would drop into coverage. A, because they're not good at it. B, it was just a bit of a curveball because they didn't have anybody who was good at it. And it was more about fooling the quarterback than anything else. So I don't think most Eagles fans won't even know, because they've never seen it before, that if it doesn't work out, then it becomes, all right, is he a good edge rusher? Is he a good off-ball linebacker? Because they'll eventually default back into what's his best position. And then it'll become a more normalized situation. Yeah, I don't know about a veteran other than, and the Eagles seriously considered signing Van Ginkle last year, but right. He was not healthy, and they knew they were not going to be able to clear him before outlaying significant money, and they didn't feel comfortable with it. Now, it turned out he was a second team All-Pro, but the Eagles won the Super Bowl, so, I mean, it worked out, and they had the number one defense, right. But they didn't have a player in that role, which they did it a different way. And if they have to do it in a different way and it doesn't work out, they'll do it in a different way.
Great stuff there. Great first hour here on Birds 365 this morning. Appreciate everybody being here. Johnny Mack working on low rest. I'm working on low rest. We were up late, but I'm still fired up. All right? Big pick for the Birds last night. But we just broke down Jahad Campbell, everything that, you know, his role, what it might be, what it looks like, what the Eagles, you know, did in the NFL draft. In hour number two here, what we're going to do is, we are going to look at the first round. I want to talk to John about what he thinks is what some of the other teams did. I know we're an Eagles show, but I do like to talk about what some of the other teams did. And then in the back half of hour two, we will dive into round two and three, which are coming up tonight. Best players available, fits for the Eagles, what direction they may go, position groups to target. Is it secondary? Is it defensive tackle, edge? Where might they go there? So we'll talk about all that here in hour number two. Appreciate you guys being here. Johnny Mack, let's start with last night's draft, and we'll go from top to bottom. I mean, you already kind of talked about what the Browns did, or what the Jaguars did moving up. I think the number one overall pick was pretty obvious. They went with Cam Ward, but, you know, we'll go to number three and we'll work our way down. We'll start with the guys who have the teams that have the most impact to the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, for once, John, I think the Giants did the smart moves. I'm not saying I like the quarterback or the quarterback's going to change the franchise, but the old Giants would have just taken Dart at number three and left the value on the board. They take Abdul Carter, I think the best player in the NFL draft. They trade back in at the end of the first round, 25 overall, and they take their quarterback in Jackson Dart over Shedeur Sanders, by the way. Your thoughts on what the Giants did in this NFL draft?
Well, I like what the Giants are doing on the defensive front. I mean, they are freaking loaded on the defensive front. You know, but it's hard to win in this league unless you find the quarterback. And
shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto. at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.